Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
So we reported this yesterday, and it concludes a narrative that's taken decades since his original indictment and extradition to Germany, but goes really back to the 1940s. 91-year-old former Nazi death camp guard John Demjanjuk found guilty of nearly 30,000 counts of accessory to murder in a German prison. Demjanjuk was sentenced to 5 years in prison, will be released pending a possible appeal. Demjanjuk is accused of being a prison guard at the Sobibor camp in Nazi-occupied Poland back in 1943. Is justice served here? What will the appeals process consist of? And what is the state of the pursuit of justice for victims of the Holocaust here in the second decade of the 21st century? David Cesarani, a professor of history at Royal Holloway University of London, he specializes in Jewish history, particularly focusing on the Holocaust. Professor, good morning.
Good morning.
So what do you make of the significance of the Demjanjuk conviction?
Well, it's very significant. It's probably the last major Nazi-era war crimes trial. It's also significant in that Demjanjuk was a foot soldier. He was what some people call a small fry. He was very low-ranking. He wasn't an officer. He had no command and control responsibility. It's symbolic of the desire to investigate and, if possible, to prosecute those who were involved at the ground level in genocide, who took orders to show that even these men must take responsibility for their deeds. They can't be allowed to escape justice simply because they were very low down in the ranks, that they had no particular initiative. Its genocide depends on the foot soldiers. It depends on the guards, the shooters. We always think of the leadership, the people like Slobodan Milosevic in Yugoslavia, as the ones who initiate genocide, ethnic cleansing, and tend to forget that their orders count for nothing unless there are going to be hundreds and thousands of men and sometimes women who carry out those orders on the ground day after day. And in the case of Demjanjuk, day after day, month after month, he took part in a machine, Sobibor death camp, that existed solely to murder innocent men, women, and children.
Although the defense in the Demjanjuk case says there's only circumstantial evidence that he actually was involved in pulling the trigger or rounding up or actually gassing specific individuals in the camp. Why is that argument unimportant to the court in Munich?
Well, you're quite right. And this trial was an innovation in German legal history and in the trial of war crimes from the Nazi era more generally because of the evidentiary grounds that were accepted. There was no direct eyewitness evidence pertaining to Demjanjuk's behavior. He was convicted on the strength of a statement by a former guard some years ago, now deceased, and on the strength of his ID card, his service record that placed him at the Travniki training camp, where death camp guards were prepared, and at the Sobibor camp. But the case made by the prosecution was very persuasive, that if you were part of the machinery at Sobibor, if you were part of the German contingent or part of the Ukrainian guard unit, you had only one role, one
right
function, that was to assist the operation of a murder machine. Sobibor had no other function. There was no labor camp there. The people who went in were murdered, apart from a tiny number who carried out gruesome tasks for the Germans. The Ukrainians, if they simply got people off the trains, if they guarded them, if they were up a watchtower, were part of a genocidal apparatus.
The argument there in Munich. We're talking with David Cesarani, professor of history at Royal Holloway University of London, talking about the conviction of John Demjanjuk, which was sentenced him to 5 years, now a suspended sentence subject to appeal. I'm wondering, David, though, if the question that begs to be asked here is, why stop with people who put on the uniform? Daniel Goldhagen, the historian, argued pretty provocatively back in the 90s that there were all kinds of people who didn't wear uniforms in Nazi Germany, who did all sorts of acts of commission or omission that resulted in the deaths of thousands, if not millions, of Jews and others during the Holocaust?
Well, I think you have to draw the line somewhere. Millions of people throughout Nazi-occupied Europe during the Second World War were the beneficiaries of genocide. They got hold of property that had once belonged to Jews who were murdered or who were deported. They supported a murderous regime. But I think that there is a difference between passive support, acquiescence, material benefit, and actually taking part in massacres or in the operations of concentration camps or death camps, even if that participation was non-lethal. If you were a guard at a concentration camp or a death camp, if you were involved in the mass shootings in Eastern Europe, the Einsatzgruppen shootings, even if you did not pull a trigger, you were aiding and abetting the mass murder of hundreds and thousands of innocent men, women, and children. You were a part of the murder machine, not simply a beneficiary, not simply a passive supporter. If the Demjanjuks had not been there, the murders could not have taken place.
Finally, how powerful is the message that the wheels of justice will turn without limitation, even decades after the crimes?
I think this is a very powerful message to the foot soldiers of genocide who are committing atrocities now, even as we speak, in places like Libya and Syria. They may run, they may hide, but time and justice will, time will not absolve their crimes, and justice will catch up with them. Wherever they hide, sooner or later, the International Criminal Court, investigators operating in particular national jurisdictions will get round to these men. And the claim that they did what they did just because they were taking orders, that they were just foot soldiers, that they were just lower-ranking members of the security forces will cut no ice. I hope that is the message that the conviction of Demjanjuk sends out today, and I think it's a very relevant message given the tragic circumstances in many parts of the world now.
David Cesarani, professor of history at Royal Holloway University of London, specializing in Jewish history, especially the Holocaust, reacting to the conviction of John Demjanjuk. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
And the conversation continues with you. Does age absolve anyone of a crime? Peg posts on our site. Wish we could go after current political criminals with the same vigor we pursued a tired old man. Aren't we brave for bringing in the old toothless cur, says Peg. And a listener in Enid, Oklahoma texts us, his crime, whether severe or not, was tied to the deaths of millions of people. Otherwise, it is a gray area. Severity must be taken into account for sentencing. You can weigh in by calling 877-8-MY-TAKE. I'm John Huckenberry. Thanks to Celeste Headlee, so anxious to get back to hosting that she came in today, but no voice. I have a voice for both of us. This is The Takeaway.